He said, you know what? Because this is happening, because this corruption is happening, and he had long hair, I'm going to punish you and I'm going to take you to the barber and have them cut your hair. They took him to the barber and they cut his hair as a punishment. Historians say, Wallahu A'lam, that when he came back, he was even better good looking. Now, I don't know which barber he went to back then in Medina, but apparently he was better good looking. Umar said, you know what? Let's have him exiled to Basra. Khalas. They took him out of Medina and he went to Basra, poor guy. He had to leave Al-Hijaz all the way to Iraq. Why? Because he was good looking and women were fantasizing about him. This lady, she was married. Her husband divorced her. I mean, obviously, when you hear that your wife is fantasizing about someone else, you're not going to live together. He divorced her and he abandoned her. This lady later on married Yusuf al-Thaqafi. And they gave birth, this marriage gave birth to whom? Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi, the brutal dictator of Iraq, who later came to power in Iraq and he killed thousands of people in Iraq from the followers of Ahl Bayt. Even though this lady probably did not commit something haram, she didn't do anything. It's not like she fornicated or committed adultery. All she did was fantasize. But look at the genes. Look at these genes that are passed on from one person to another. When you choose someone, my dear brothers and sisters, you're not just choosing a wife, you're choosing a brilliant mother. I have people that come and tell me, Sayyid, I want religious kids. You want religious kids? Have a religious wife. Have a religious husband. That's how it works. It's these genes that are passed on. You can't have religious kids when you marry a lady that's not religious. That's completely not religious. Who doesn't pray, doesn't wear hijab, doesn't fast. That's completely away from faith. And then you expect it to be a religious mother. It's not going to work that way. Thus, faith. When you choose wisely. Choose logically. And have faith as your number one priority. Number two. And again, this is from personal experience. And we have some hadith. My dear brothers and sisters, when you choose, you choose. Don't let someone else choose for you. Don't let your mother choose for you. Don't let your father choose for you. You yourself choose. A young man comes to Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam and he says, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, I chose a bride for myself. I chose a young lady. And my parents have chosen a young lady for me. Which one should I marry? Should I marry the one that I chose or the one that my parents chose? The Imam tells him, marry the one that you chose. You know why? Because you're going to live with her. And you're going to live with him. Not your mother, not your father, and not your best friend. Yes, always consult. Islam tells us, consult your parents. That is why in our Islamic law, a young lady cannot get married without the consent of whom? Of her father, because she has to consult her father. Why? Because is this oppression to the young lady? Does Islam want to oppress young women and not allow them to get married without their father's approval? No. But because a father knows what's good for her, what's good for his daughter. A good father will put the best interest of his daughter in front of him. A good father will never abuse his daughter. That is why Islam says that if you want to marry a young lady, you have to have her father's consent and approval. Because he cares. Thus, consult. Islam says consult. Consult your parents. Ask them. Seek their counsel and advice. But ultimately, you choose. You make the decision. You know, in the Middle East, a lot of times, the couples, they don't make the decision. It's the parents that make the decision. A lot of times it's the mother. I know in many cases that the young man has no clue who he's marrying. And he's never seen his wife. You know how he got married? Because his mother saw this young lady at some session or at a majlis or whatever. And she came and told him, my son, I chose for you a beautiful young lady and you're going to marry her. And let me ask you, when this mother chooses this lady, how is she choosing? What's her criteria? Is she going to go and ask her a philosophical question? Is she going to ask her what does she think of some political issue? No. She sees her, beautiful, long hair. I don't know what they look for. Long hair, beautiful eyes. There's no unibrow. I don't know. And she comes and tells him, my son, I found you the right wife. This is it. And this is why a lot of these marriages, they fail. Because he didn't choose. He's getting into a marriage according to his mom's taste. Mommy's taste, okay? And this is what happens. No, in Islam, you choose. And you make the correct decision. And you make the logical decision, the wise decision. And finally, and I conclude with this, صلى على محمد وعلى محمد. This is from my personal experience. From my personal experience of what I see from various communities, whether it's in this community or other communities. I say to the brothers and to the sisters that marry from your own communities. Marry from your own community. What do I mean by this? Marry from your own cities, hometowns, from your own race and nationality? No, because I talked about that. The race and nationality, the language, that's not important. What I mean is from your own community, meaning don't import spouses. You know, there's a custom now, it's been a while, that we import spouses. A young man thinks of getting married, immediately he gets on a plane, goes to Lebanon, and brings back a beautiful young lady. There's nothing wrong with that. This is not haram. However, my personal advice, marry from your own communities. Why? Number one, despite the fact that the person who you're bringing is a fob, there will be a culture clash. This person is raised differently from the way you were raised. And I've seen a lot of couples that did not get along. You're raised in America. She's raised in Lebanon. You're raised in America. He's raised in Lebanon. And there's something wrong. There's a conflict. You don't understand him. She doesn't understand you. This happens a lot. This is one. Number two, imagine if all the young brothers in this community went and got married in Lebanon. And all the young brothers went and got married in Lebanon. Who's going to marry the young sisters here in this community? Who? There's three options. Either they never get married, they remain celibate, or they're forced to marry out of the school of thought, someone from a different school of thought, or the worst option, God forbid they marry someone out of the religion. Someone who is not Muslim. And I've seen this. And I've seen in many communities, because of the major segregation between the two genders, I know some Muslim women that went and got married with non-Muslim men. I know Muslim women that went and married a Hindu. This happens. This happens. Thus, I encourage my dear brothers and sisters, marry from your own communities. Because this will be more beneficial, more helpful, and everyone will get married. Otherwise, this will be destruction to the community. Thus, these were a few words on marriage. I hope that I haven't scared too many of you off of marriage, and that you still have, if you had the intentions of getting married, you still have that intentions. And we wish you all the best. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-Tahireen.